Good morning, my friends, and a blessed Easter, a blessed Resurrection Day to you. The Lord, in His great power and glory and wisdom, in His righteousness and justice and power, has risen from the dead. He is raised up by the power of God. The Father has raised His Son to save sinners, and the Son has raised Himself up in mighty spiritual power. The Spirit also has raised the Eternal Son up. He lives, the man Jesus Christ, and He can never die. The Son of God has come and has finished the work of redemption. He has shed His blood to save sinners from their sins. My friends, we rejoice this Lord's Day morning as we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we also remember the resurrection of the dead, particularly the resurrection of believers, because the man Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is raised up in eternal power and eternal life. All people will be raised up. And the saints of God will be raised up to eternal blessing in Christ Jesus. Glory to God forever. Hear now the word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have come to us and that you have raised yourself to life from the dead for our justification, to save us from our sins. Glory and praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord. And I pray that you will open our hearts to the truth, that we might learn more about the hope of glory, the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of your redeemed people. Thank you for your faithfulness and mercy, for your great work in the earth, and that you are working, and that you will work and fulfill your every purpose, and that your work will be completed. Known unto you, O God, from eternity are all your works. And the time is coming, the mystery of God in this world will be finished. Glory to God. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. My friends, we rejoice because Jesus is alive, and because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Christ's resurrection ensures us and shows us that there is a resurrection of all. Every person shall be changed, as our text tells us. And in a moment, every person shall be changed. The dead shall be raised incorruptible and glorified form. And those alive at the coming of the Lord shall rise to meet Him in the air, and they too shall be changed. They shall be glorified in a moment. We see, my friends, that God has revealed to us this absolutely extraordinary truth, that God, the Creator, who gives life and takes life, who kills, who makes alive, who wounds and heals, the great God from whom no man can escape, the God that holds in His hands deliverance, is the God who will cause the dead to rise again. This glorious truth of the resurrection of the dead is surely not of man. It's never entered into the heart of man. It is not possible that the natural man can conceive of the resurrection of the dead or believe in the resurrection of the dead. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is resurrected. And God, through Jesus Christ, reveals to us that all will be resurrected, that every knee will bow before Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Every person will be raised up in the mighty power of God. Corruption must put on incorruption. This means that the bodies of men, of all men, will be changed in a moment and will be made incorruptible. That is, the bodies will be glorified and made fit for eternal existence. The just will be glorified, will be resurrected, will be changed in a moment, and their bodies will be fitted for eternal bliss, blessing, and happiness. The wicked will be changed in a moment. They too shall be glorified and fitted for eternal existence under the awful wrath of God and the power of God. At death, believers enter into God's presence, into bliss and glory. And at death, unbelievers enter into agony and the glory of God's judgment upon them, a display of His power and anger, His awesome wrath. But death is not the end for any of us. Death will give way to the resurrection of the dead. And God is working in His great and eternal purposes to finish the work that He began in His creation. God, in His awesome wisdom and power, in His will, has determined that all that exists in the creation will come to pass. He has a determined end in His creation. He has a purpose for His creation. Paul tells us in Romans 9, verse 28, "For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth." Isaiah 10:23 speaks of God's purpose in His work. "For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land." And Isaiah prophesies in chapter 28, verse 22 about God's great work, His determinations. "Now therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a destruction determined even upon the whole earth." Isaiah there prophesies of a worldwide judgment that the Lord of hosts, the true and living God, will bring to pass. And so the glory of heaven for the redeemed is blissful. But for the glorified dead, the redeemed, there is yet an element of waiting for and longing for the completion, the finalization, the fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment, if you will, the consummation of the works of God. The redeemed dead are blessed. They cannot experience dissatisfaction in any form. They are fully and ultimately, eternally happy. But yet they wait for and long for the completion of the work of God. And yet they wait for and they long for the resurrection of their bodies. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that believers now groan for the redemption of the body. That speaks of the longing for the fulfillment of God, for His great and final purposes to be revealed. That is, that the body shall be redeemed. This body, which is corruptible, longs for incorruption. And Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that the very creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. The very creation has been subjected to futility because of sin. And the creation is personified as also groaning like believers, that God will work to reveal the sons of God, to save the sons of God, and therefore to bring the creation to its ultimate fulfillment, the glorification of the very creation itself, the resurrection of the body. We find in Revelation chapter 6 in verses 9 through 11 that martyrs, those who have given their lives for the name, are found under the throne in the very presence of God, and they cry out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" It's interesting that verse 11 of that chapter speaks of the number of their fellow servants and brothers who will be killed as they were, and that this number must be completed. They long for the completing of the number of their fellow servants and brethren, of those who will die for the name's sake. They long for God to judge and avenge their blood finally at the resurrection of the dead. Paul tells us about his strong desire to be fully clothed in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 7. He writes there about our temporal bodies, our physical bodies, being like earthly houses or tents, which will be destroyed in death. But he says that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is, we have a glorified body. For in this we groan, in the earthly house, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, the glorified body. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan. He speaks of the longing for fulfillment. That is the resurrection of the body. The truth is that disembodied spirits are not yet fully complete. They are perfectly satisfied. They enjoy bliss to the uttermost, but they are not yet complete. And so, having been clothed, Paul mentions here that the believer shall not be found naked. That is, he shall be glorified fully at that day. And he says, we who are in this earthly tent groan, we are burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, that is, not because we want to die, to exist apart from our bodies, but we want to be further clothed. We want to be glorified in body and soul, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepares us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So then, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, alive now in our earthly tents, we are absent from the Lord. This speaks of the truth that Paul is confident that we shall be with the Lord, though we are absent from the Lord in the sense that we live in earthly bodies now, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so once again, this longing, this strong desire for the resurrection of our bodies, there is great expectancy and longing for and entreating God for this great work, the culmination of his work, the finishing of his work. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, verse 7, that the Bible says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." This speaks of the final works of God. As God completes his great will in the creation, God will send his Son, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus will return. He shall be revealed from heaven. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 27, speaks of the resurrection that will occur when Christ returns. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. That is, at the resurrection of the dead. That's verse 24. And the Bible declares to us that there is a great coming judgment in Revelation 20, in verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 15:5 also speaks of this. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. This verse in Revelation 15 speaks of God's judgments prior to the great judgment. These are his last expressions of wrath before the final judgment, when all men will stand before him and give account for their lives. The just stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ and are welcomed into eternal glory. The unjust are dressed in their own filth and corruption without righteousness. They have rejected the righteousness of Christ, or they have never been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and these are cast away into everlasting burnings. We see, too, that the last works of God are the glorification of all, of men and angels, of the very creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 24 and 28 speak of this. It says there, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. And verse 28 says, now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. God is going to raise the dead. In raising the dead, God will glorify all men. And because these things are true, my friends, we must know and believe God's revelation to us of these future and coming events, perhaps coming very quickly. As we prepare for the awesome judgment of God, as we prepare for Christ's awesome return, as we prepare for the resurrection of the dead, for the glorification of all creatures that God has ever made, we must see that we are prepared only when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are joined to Christ by faith in his great and awesome name, then we are truly prepared. It is only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who are prepared for these awesome last works of God, the very completion of God's work in his creation. If we are not joined to Christ by faith in his name and repentance of all sin. That is, if we have not turned away from evil that God hates, God will judge. He will judge rightly and justly in righteousness and power. He will render to us the just penalty for our sins against the great and holy God, eternal damnation. Absolute pain is the consequence of not believing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the call of the gospel is sounded forth once again this day of mercy, this day of grace, this day in which many rejoice in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's call of mercy to the impenitent, God's call of mercy to the unbelieving, God's call to them to come to Christ, God's word to them to believe in the Lord and repent of all sins, so that they receive mercy from the great God, the holy and true living and only God. My friends, these are far greater than I can possibly express to you. And the awesome seriousness of these great events is more than I can possibly communicate to you. But I trust the Lord. His word has been sent to you. His word has been given to you. This blessed day of mercy in which God is calling sinners to salvation. Do not despise the day of God's calling, dear friend. Do not despise the day in which God declares to you mercy, for there is a day coming when there will no longer be mercy for the unbelieving and the impenitent. While there is mercy, come to God for mercy. Break off your sins by true repentance and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, and He shall receive you. He shall forgive you of all sin. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came in the determinations of God to live a just and holy, sinless life and to rise up from the dead. And Jesus came to save sinners like you. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, my friend. Father, how awesome are these great last works that you will fulfill in absolute power and glory. God, I rejoice that the resurrection of the dead never entered the heart of man apart from your revelation to us of these great and awesome and glorious truths. Thank you, Lord, that you are working and you will fulfill your plan for your very creation, for every man and every angel and for the entire creation in every aspect. Fulfill your great and glorious and good purposes, Lord, and cause sinners to come to Christ. Give them forgiveness of sins and give them faith. Lord, give them the gift of repentance that they too may glorify God forever in your awesome mercy and goodness, knowing that you will powerfully judge all who reject your offers of mercy and grace and salvation and blessing and forgiveness, and that they will suffer the penalty of their sins unspeakably and horribly forever and ever. Glory and praise to you, great and living God, for your purposes and your works, which you are soon bringing to completion. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.